Just to make things clear, I don't want you to get wigged out, okay, or freak out or panic when you hear the first part of the message, okay? I want to let you know this is what we're going to do this morning is unfold the story of the gospel, unfold the story from the beginning of creation. And we have a gentleman that's going to play the character of God, okay? So he's going to say, "I am God," and he's going to introduce himself in first person. So don't think that we're blasphemous. Don't run out on us. Don't say, "I'm out of here. This is a weird church. I'm skedaddling. I'm going to beat it." Give us the opportunity to unfold the entire story, and I think you will really appreciate it when it's all said and done. And then listen to what God has for you. Maybe you're here and you're in need of the message of hope. That's in this story. So clue in with your head and clue in with your heart and respond how God would have you respond.
Hello. I am God. I was in the beginning, and I have no beginning. I have no end. There was no one beside me or below me. If I were to have a bad day, who would be my counselor? The answer is no one, because there is no one that is my equal, and I have no bad days. I am perfect altogether and altogether. I am all powerful. So powerful that when my word goes out, even nothingness hears and obeys me. Therefore, I spoke all things into existence. I am alive and active, speaking and creating. I created light and darkness, the day and the night, the land and the sea. I created fish and plants, the very same plants that you find beauty in and are amazed by. I created birds and animals, the animals that you love and find companionship with, the very animals you eat and are sustained by, like cows, fun to pet, better to chew. I made it all, and it was on the same stage that I chose to set man and woman, created in my image to bear my resemblance. It was perfection, truly a place of oneness. Oneness as an individual, because man was at peace. He was one with himself. He wasn't divided by his emotions. He was not conflicted by doing what he didn't want to do and not doing what he needed to do. He was perfect. Oneness in their relationships. Man and woman, they were one. There was no miscommunication, no misunderstandings, no drama, no freaking out, no breakups, no divorce. It was perfect. And oneness in nature. It was never too hot or too cold, or I better grab my sunshades because it's too bright outside, or I need my coat because the wind is freezing. Or there was the beauty of a rose, just its fragrance and the wonder of itself, and but without the prick of a thorn. Man's relationship with nature was perfect, and most importantly, there was oneness with me, their creator. Man and woman and myself were one. We walked together, and we knew each other's hearts. It was perfect. So here is the stage that has been set. Creation with the created, walking and talking with me, the creator. And it was good.
Even though it was good, I came into the world. You see, I have many names. Accuser, adversary, author of all sin, the deceiver, the destroyer, the evil one, the father of all lies, Lucifer, the prince of the world, the tempter, and Satan. You see, just as man had an opportunity to shine in one of his greatest moments, he utterly failed in the garden. My influence, chaos, sin entered the world through one man's decision, Adam. Sin and my influence came as a result of a command set in place by the Creator being broken. The result of this disobedience, of this one man's decision, can be seen everywhere. My chaos spread almost magically. You see, now all of mankind has to deal with this sin because they were born with it. All of them. Men now have to labor and toil in their fields to strive for their next meal. Women have to suffer during childbirth and have to be subject to their man. Because of this sin that no one can escape, you will always have an enemy. I will always be prowling about seeking for someone to devour. Maybe it's you. Because of this chaos, there will be conflict readily awaiting you in every relationship that you enter into. Oh, and this world you live in, even with the beauty like the rose, there will always be thorns lying in wait, ready to inflict pain. You see, I want to make sure that my kingdom of darkness is ever reaching and is far more influential than anyone can ever imagine. I do this in several ways. Sometimes I make you believe that you are something that you are not. Sometimes I make you think that you need something that you don't. And sometimes I make you feel like you need someone that you don't. Oh, and just one thing, be like me. Try and bring as many people with you as you can. After all, the road to chaos, it does get lonely. You see, I know that the Creator, He has your best interest in mind. But I have your pleasure in my mind. If I can keep you distracted or preoccupied or disillusioned, and if I can get you to waste your life, then you're stuck. And when you're stuck in sin, there is no way out. There is no hope. So that desire that you just can't quite seem to say no to, just give in. You cannot defeat my chaos. I can stop you dead in your tracks. It's my specialty. I call it fear, and it paralyzes people. I make it my business to rob all joy from your life and to utterly destroy anything that is remotely good or pure. And when I get you to feeling like you're guilty or ashamed or just completely blinded to the Creator, I have you exactly where I want you, ineffective. I detest everything about the Creator. It may have been good once, but now it's bad.
Yeah, it was bad. But that's not the end of the story. Hello, my name is Jesus Christ. You see, chaos entered the world that I made. The world that I made so perfect was now stained by sin and rebellion. Your sin and your rebellion made a debt that has to be paid. Because of my perfection and holiness and justice, it's demanded that sin, your sin, be punished and paid for. In my Old Testament law, the way to cleanse things was through blood. Everything had to be cleansed through blood. And without the blood, the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so on a day of atonement, a high priest would go. He would make a sacrifice so that the people could have their sins forgiven.
So a perfect, innocent lamb, and that sacrifice cleansed the people of all their unrighteousness. The sacrifice wasn't complete, though. Because, see, chaos and sin would creep into people's hearts and lives, and chaos would continue to reign the world. And so year after year, the high priest had to go and offer up a lamb over and over and over again. So I saw the state of mankind and I saw the state that they were in because of chaos and separation from me and my holiness and my goodness. And so I stepped into creation. And in the form of a man, yet 100% completely God, I came, and as Jesus Christ, I came and I lived a sinless, perfect life. And because I was perfect, because I was sinless, I could be worthy of being your sacrifice. You see, I am the Lamb of God. And my blood that was shed on the cross has made a way for your debt to be paid completely in full. And it's not like the Old Testament stuff, that sacrifice that happened. My debt, my sacrifice pays for it completely. Once and for all of your sin is paid for. And so, through my shedding of my blood, I have conquered sin. See, Romans 3 says this. The righteousness of God comes through faith in me for all those who believe. There's no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by my grace. Freely by my grace through redemption that came from me. God offered me as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in my blood. So by my blood, sin and chaos is powerless. Because I came, because I was born of a virgin, because I lived sinless, because I did what you couldn't do and died on the cross bearing your sin and all the chaos and hurt and pain from your life, I took it to the grave and then I conquered it all by resurrecting. So sin is defeated. It's powerless. The victory, my victory, is won. And now it's finished.
It started with creation, and oh, what a creation it was. Out of nothing came what we see in the natural world. The heavens, the earth, us, all of mankind. We experienced oneness with God in that moment in time and history. They experienced true relationship with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit, with that three in one. And it was good. It was perfect. But obviously that wasn't the end of the story. Then came chaos. You see, Satan and his agent, sin, entered the picture. Sin spread, and all mankind now deals with this problem. See, we're born with it. It came as a result of one man, but all mankind has been affected by it. It's a problem we all have. It ushers in chaos, conflict, problems, and pain. And we feel stuck in sin, paralyzed by the mess of our own lives. We come by it naturally. It's not hard to find ourselves stuck in sin. It's very easy. Oneness with God was broken. Mankind was from that moment on faced with a severe problem. How do we get back to this? How do we come to that place where we have a rightness with our Creator? Where there is no broken relationship. It was bad. It was very bad. But the story didn't end there either. Thank goodness. Enter the cross. See, Jesus steps out onto the scene. out of heaven into the world. And he comes and he lives on our turf. The King becomes a servant. The Almighty becomes one of his created. He faces temptation. He faces struggle just like we do. He was tempted in every way, but was without sin. In every way. He never failed. He accomplished his mission. He went to the cross. And he went with a great purpose. See, with his death, he paid the price for our sin. He transferred it onto him, past, present, and future. The sin of all mankind in one single moment was put on Jesus. Jesus became the perfect sacrifice that we needed in order for that what was once there to be restored. We couldn't be made right with God on our own efforts. There's nothing that we can do. No amount of intellectual assent. You can't know enough to be in a right standing with God. No amount of, excuse me, old ladies, helping old ladies across the street. No amount of good deeds will get you into the kingdom of heaven. Men have tried that and failed. No amount of philosophical understanding will ever get you into a right relationship with the Creator. We couldn't restore oneness with God if we wanted to. And when we try, Scripture says it is as filthy rags. Your best effort is like filthy rags outside of Jesus. We couldn't get back to God, so what God did for us, we couldn't do for ourselves. And it cost Jesus his life. And it was finished. And that brings us here, this morning, to this place. We've seen the story of the Creator and how it was in the beginning. We saw the story of chaos and how it entered our world and how Jesus came onto the scene and covered it up. This is the story. What is your story? Where do you fit into this story? Are you outside of it? Or are you in the middle of it? 2 Corinthians 5:17 on the screen says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The key word is if. If you are in a relationship with Christ, if your sin has been covered by the blood of Jesus. See, because this is not a given. There was a time and place in history that I had no business being at this pulpit sharing the truth because I did not know Jesus. I was an enemy of God. I was far from Him. I was full of sin, bitterness, anger, strongholds. That if totally applied to me, just like it does to us all. See, God's the ultimate gentleman. He extends an invitation to come into a relationship with Him, to have your sin, chaos, guilt, shame taken away. And not only covered, and we can't illustrate this here this morning, but cast as far as the east is from the west. And it's a good thing he said east and west, because if you go east around the world, you never get to the east pole. And if you go west, you never get to the west pole. It's unending. And that's the point. I'm so glad he didn't say north pole. I'm so glad he didn't say south. because there's an ending point to that. But he takes our sin and he casts it as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. However, it's still an offer. It's not an automatic. It's not something you stumble into. It's a conscience. It's a conscious decision that you make to be a follower of Jesus. And that invitation is for you today, no matter where you are. You may have thought you stumbled into this building this morning, but I want to tell you, it's not by chance that you're here. It's not by happenstance. See, Jesus is offering you forgiveness today. He offers us his love. He offers us his hope. He offers us a way to be free from the chaos and confusion and problems and pain of sin. But he leaves us the choice. See, in Deuteronomy it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the Creator? Will you serve God Almighty? Will you serve Jesus and his ways and purposes? Or will you serve chaos? And ultimately, if you serve chaos, I'm telling you now, you're choosing to serve yourself. And you cannot have two masters. You will either be slave to one and neglect the other, or completely and solely be devoted. And my hope and my prayer for you today, as you see this story unfold and as you think about how it conflicts with your story, I ask you, whom will you serve? Will you serve God the Creator, or will you serve yourself and ultimately the enemy and his purposes and plans? See, you can be made new in Christ. As we read earlier, you can be made whole. You can be made free. You can be pure and in a right relationship with Jesus, with God Almighty, the Creator. You can be grafted in. You can be made one with Jesus. You can literally be in the same standing with God that Jesus is. See, because Jesus is not an enemy of himself. And Scripture tells us that if we're not walking with Christ, we are an enemy of God. We are in rebellion. We are in sin. Friend, that's no place to be. That is not life. John 10:10 says he comes to give us life and give it to the fullest. To be in Christ is life. To be outside of Christ is death. You don't want that. It is no place to live. It is no place to dwell. It is no place to function. In those moments, you don't even just survive. You drowned. But God wants it for your life, such that you would thrive, not just tread water, but truly overcome, because that's what he comes to do. He comes to make you overcomers, overwhelming conquerors. That's who he is, and that's what he wants your life to be about, to be an overwhelming conqueror, to leave death, to leave the stronghold, to leave the sin behind. In Christ, we are sons and daughters of God. In his love and his goodness, he creates us brand new. He makes us new from the inside out, not a whitewashed tomb. See, we can fool people all day long. We can put on a smile. We can say, I'm doing just fine. And inside, we can be dying. Sin like a cancer, eating you alive. But it's up to you, my friend. It's up to you. You have to choose to commit to Jesus, to come into a relationship with him, to lay down your old life. Scripture calls that repenting, turning away from your desires, from your plans, from your agendas, from your goals, and taking up what God has for you. Turning toward Him and running as fast as you can. And the cool thing about running to God in that illustration is you don't have to do anything but take one step, because the Father runs after you. As is illustrated in Luke 15 in the prodigal son, when the father was looking for his son down the road. See, the Lord's always looking. You're never out of His sight. The choice is yours today. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And verse 11, a personal favorite, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Friend, I want to tell you, if your life has been filled with disappointment, and you know that the life you're living now is no life at all, it's actually death, today's your opportunity to come to Jesus. This moment, today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to give any more excuses. So whether you're a person that has began a relationship with Jesus at one point in time in your life and you've strayed from Him and you need to come back, today is the time to come to Jesus. Or if you've come to this place and you said, man, Chance, I had no idea God was so head over heels for me. I had no idea the invitation was being extended to me. I had no idea that life, true life, abundant life was there for me. And you're realizing that for the first time, today is the day you need to begin that relationship with Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. I'm going to have these guys kind of break out of character, okay? And we'll have them come down front, and they're going to be ready to receive you, and I'm going to be ready. And if you need prayer, or you just need to come to the altar and open it up, get on your knees, then let this be the time that you do that. And as the band plays, this is your opportunity to respond. To maybe come into that relationship with Jesus for the first time, or to come back to Him. And if you're in a good place, then pray. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your friends that don't know Christ. Pray that they would come into that relationship with Jesus and experience true life. Abundant life. I don't want anybody to miss out on this opportunity. It's too precious. It's the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. So submit, give in, stop running, stop wrestling, and come to Jesus. This is your opportunity to respond.